making it a real working farm, turning more than just enough to pay the bills. I want to see it thrive, give Mama some extra to put back into it. You know what I mean. I tilted my chin, but didn't say any more. Instead, my eyes suddenly found Asher, like they always seemed to do. He was walking out of the hardware store with Hannah Watson stepping beside him. She was talking and smiling brightly, her face turning to gesture as they strolled while Asher listened and took it all in. The small lift at the corners of his lips meant Hannah was making him truly smile, and Asher was liking whatever she was saying. Until this moment, I'd always liked Hannah. She was beautiful, smart, and nice, but now I hoped she tripped over her pretty blue sandals and fell flat on her face. Or for a truck to hit her in the street. What was happening to me?
Asher moved on that fast enough. The boss's daughter is already hanging on his arm. Not sure Denver was expecting that.
Why did Asher need another job anyway? That was silly. I suddenly agreed with Steele. There was no point in him working elsewhere with so much to do on their own farm. Especially if it meant he was going to be around Hannah all the time. Wasn't she supposed to be off at school? Why was she traipsing the streets with Asher,
drooling and looking all pretty?
I thought she went up north to college somewhere, I said a little too loudly, trying to then soften my voice at the end, but you could still hear it sounded all wrong.
She did. Guess she's home for the summer.
A summer romance. My stomach turned sour. I wasn't going to be able to eat anything now. Not a single bite. Why did I have to see this? I wanted to see Bray, not Asher.
Ready for lunch?
Steele asked as he parked the truck. Yeah, I replied with even less enthusiasm than before, unsure I'd be able to swallow even one fried shrimp after the scene I'd just witnessed in the street. I watched as Asher walked out to his truck and Hannah climbed on the passenger side. They had ridden here together. They were headed somewhere together. Asher was supposed to be working. Why wasn't Asher working instead of gallivanting all over town with Hannah? My stomach clenched, jealousy dulling everything around me, even the air now smelling different to me. The sun looked less bright, the sky less blue, and my heart kept fracturing more and more. I didn't know that it could break any more, but it seemed it could.
Chapter 17. Asher Sutton. I had no idea why I was at Jack's with Amber Fort, but after the day I had with Hannah flirting incessantly with me, and my trying to make sure she understood we were just going to be friends, I needed a drink, a big one. Hannah wasn't taking the hint, though. When I walked into Jack's, Amber had been here all tanned up from working at the salon with her tits and legs on display, and I figured I needed a distraction. Amber knew the score. She wasn't in it for the romance or promises of a forever. We'd messed around once in high school. She knew the drill. Amber sat down on my lap as soon as I took a seat on the closest bar stool. My day just got a hell of a lot better, she drawled, leaning in to shove her cleavage in my face. I wished that I could say the same. Heard you were driving around with that sweet Hannah Watson, she continued. This town had little to do but talk about people. I figured they'd have me and Hannah engaged by next week at this rate. Another reason to let Amber sit on my lap. Maybe enough people would see it, and I'd just get labeled a man whore instead. I'm working for Denver, I told her, as if she didn't know this already. She wrapped an arm over my shoulders and leaned in closer. I heard that, but I also know you like your girl sweet. I figure it's about time you tried some naughty. I assumed she saw herself as the naughty in that sentence. Vince Wallace and Todd Hyatt walked in and headed for a pool table.
Asher, heard you were in town, Vince called out while walking over to me.
I'd played football with both of them. Wasn't sure what either of them were doing now, though.
Yeah, I'm home for a bit, I told him. I see you got some good hometown entertainment, he said, grinning at Amber, who just giggled. I wasn't sure how to respond to that.
Ash, man, saw you play this year on TV. It was fucking crazy to see. Kept telling the boys I used to play on the same field as you,
Todd said as he took a beer from Jack's nephew Roy, who was working the bar today. That seemed to excite Amber because she managed to wrap herself tighter against me. I knew I could have just taken what she was offering all too happily, but I also knew I'd feel guilty later. Not sure why Dixie was my brother's girlfriend. I'd been with other women since her. Something about being home and seeing her again made it all different.
You're living the dream. Living the dream,
Todd said with a wistfulness in his tone. He was my age, but he'd gotten married the week after high school graduation, and his twin boys had been born the next month. That is all I knew about Todd.
Good to have you home, Vince told me.
Then the two of them moved to the pool table. Amber's thigh moved down between mine until she was pressing and rubbing it against my dick.
Want to go somewhere so I can kiss on that? She offered.
Before I had to make a decision, the door opened again and Bray walked in. He became my excuse for telling her no.
Tap,
was all that Bray said to Roy before walking to stand beside us and looking at me.
You the only one here?
Yeah, the others are out, I told him, not sure exactly where they all were.
What up, Amber?
Bray asked, winking at Amber, who squirmed in my lap some more. I was walking out of here if she started mentioning a threesome. I'd had enough women in the past who'd asked for one with one of my brothers, and that shit was not happening. Ever.
Trying to get this one to take me out to his truck, she said, pressing her body against mine some more.
Good luck, he replied.
He knew me too damn well.
You up for a game?
Bray asked me. Yeah. I needed to do something other than let Amber rub all over me. The fact that my dick was hard didn't mean I wanted her. It meant it was being rubbed on, and it was what a dick did. I patted her leg. Let me up, babe. As soon as I said the words, her eyes lit up. Damn. I hadn't meant it as a term of endearment. Suddenly, her lips were on mine, and I decided to just go for it. To try, and see if I wanted more. But I knew immediately that this wasn't something I could fake. Her body felt good, she had a great one. But this would only end up being one more pointless fuck. Taking her by the waist, I moved her gently off me and stood up. It was then that my eyes locked with Dixie's. Her skin was pale, and the raw pain in her eyes shook me to my core. I didn't want to hurt her. I never wanted to see her look at me like that again. I'd seen that look too many times in the past. I forced my legs to move away from Amber before she did any more groping.
Rackham, I said to Bray, tearing my gaze off Dixie. She ain't worth it, Bray said under his breath.
Yeah. She is, I replied. She was worth so much more than Bray would ever understand. He didn't love anyone like that. I doubted he ever would.
Amber's hot,
he said, as if I needed that pointed out to me. I glanced back at Amber, wondering if I could go there. Lose myself in her, even if only for one night.
I know, I'm trying to focus on that, I told him.
My head was so fucking messed up with Dixie being there, I had missed my other brothers walking into the bar.
I got the winner,
Steele said, all happy like he owned the damn world. He did. He had my world. He had my Dixie. So you'll be playing Bray. Nobody can beat his ass, Brent said with an amused smirk directed my way. He was right. Bray was the undefeated champion among us. Although at the moment, Bray looked wound up tight. He had that crazy look in his eyes he would get whenever his temper was about to flare up. Bray'd had anger issues since he was a little boy. He'd lose his shit in an instant, and calming him down had never been easy. Dad had been good at it, but once Dad was gone, we never really knew how to do it. The older he got, the less it happened, but when it did, it was dangerous for everyone involved. Mama said he needed to see a psychiatrist regularly. Bray said he had no use for a shrink. We all agreed he was wrong. He needed help controlling himself. I wasn't sure what the fuck had just set him off, but it was clearly boiling under the surface. He then turned to a blonde I knew he had dated in high school and started flirting. She didn't know to stay away from that dangerous gleam in his eyes. He was going to use her as a distraction. But from what? I turned to look at Brent to see if he noticed it too, but he was leaving with Scarlett. As much as I didn't want to look at Steele, I did. I needed backup and soon, but Steele wasn't looking at Bray either. He was smiling back at Dixie. Shit. Brent leaving? Steele asked, then looked at me. Looks like it, I replied, giving him a pointed look, then shooting my eyes toward Bray to get his attention. Steele frowned like he wasn't sure what I was trying to say. Were they all blind? Bray slammed his stick down then and turned to stalk out of the bar. That caught Steele's attention, and he was right behind me as I hurried for the door. Hell was about to break loose, and I was afraid I had just figured out why. Fuck.
Chapter 18. Dixie Monroe. Steele cursed under his breath and hurried after Asher. Both of them were now following Bray, who had seemed angry. I must have missed something. I wasn't exactly sure what that was, since all my focus had been on Asher. I was watching him to see if he looked at Amber anymore. It was ridiculous of me, but I had needed reassurance he wasn't really interested in her. I followed behind Steele, who seemed to have forgotten about me. Not that it mattered. Something else was obviously wrong. I wish Scarlett had stayed. Brent had been so determined to leave with her. I had barely made it to the steps when Bray's voice rang through the parking lot.
Don't, Scar.
I squinted in the dark to see Scarlett pressed up against Brent's truck, and Brent and her were obviously doing stuff. But the raw pain in Bray's voice stopped me in my tracks, caused me to stop breathing. Because in that moment, I knew. I knew what I had feared was true after all. Had Steele and Asher known? They'd ran out of there like they did. Surely they weren't okay with this. Not when Asher was so determined that he couldn't be with me because of his brother.
Come here, baby,
Bray said. His tone was gentle yet demanding. My stomach turned. Oh, God, this was bad. I stepped closer just as Scarlett looked up at Brent and said, I'm sorry. Then she left his arms and rushed into the arms of his twin brother. Asher moved then, fast.
What the fuck?
He roared. His voice was loud and full of fury. I'd never heard him so angry.
Please tell me you're shitting me,
Steele said, moving to stand beside Asher. Like they were a united front, ready to take on Bray.
Oh, shit. What have you done?
Dallas was here now, too. He was coming up from behind me, his boots hitting the gravel as he moved to stand with the others. I'd feared this. Deep down, I think I knew it all along. Scarlett loved Bray. But I'd not wanted to believe she would do this to Brent.
She's mine,
Bray said, turning to look back at the brothers behind him, then back to his twin.
What have you done?
Brent sounded like he'd been ripped in half. I knew how that felt. My heart broke for him.
She's been mine. I wouldn't admit it, and you kept pushing to get her to go out with you, so she did. I should have said something then. I didn't. I fucked up. But she's mine. She's been mine all along.
How could she do this? I understood loving one Sutton and being with another, but I'd never do this. Or was what I was doing even worse? Was this what it would feel like for Steele if I kept this up, knowing he'd never have my heart?
Dixie, you need to take Scarlet.
Asher's voice was loud and cold, his gaze locked on Bray, daring him to say anything. He moved toward Bray.
Let her go with Dixie. We got shit to clear up.
Asher wasn't asking. His voice was tight and hard. Scarlet, I said, taking a step forward. I would do whatever they needed me to. I agreed with Asher. They all needed to deal with this on their own, and Scarlet needed to leave. Her being there just made it all worse.
Don't touch her.
Bray growled as my hand touched her arm. In that moment, my heart skipped a beat from the sheer terror I felt. The look in Bray's eyes was that of a demon, evil, cruel. Nothing like his usual self at all. Scarlet was startled by his words too, and I jumped, moved away fast. Something was wrong with him. Dallas was there suddenly pulling Scarlet back, just as Asher's fist slammed into Bray's face. Scarlet screamed. I screamed. I heard other screams.
Don't ever fucking talk to her like that again.
Asher's threat was full of his own anger. This was the first time I'd seen him like this, too. His fist landed again on Bray's face. Scarlet was trying to break free from Dallas. She was screaming, "Stop! Please, stop!" She was begging Asher to stop. He was going to kill Bray. Or it looked that way, at least. Bray couldn't seem to get his head clear enough after each hit to do anything. None of the others were stopping Asher. He'd regret this. I knew him too well. If he truly hurt Bray, he'd never forgive himself. Dallas was so busy holding Scarlet, so I was able to go to Asher. I grabbed his arm before he swung again. "Asher, don't," I said, hoping he could hear me over Scarlet screaming. He did. He stilled. Bray began wiping the blood running from his nose.
"Back up, Dixie,"
Asher said, not looking at me. His glare remained fixed on Bray. Bray moved then, but not toward Asher. He moved toward Scarlet.
"Let her go."
Dallas shook his head.
"Seriously, Bray, you got some shit to work out. She needs to leave with Dixie."
Asher finally looked at me.
"Step away from this. If you're hurt, I'll end up killing him."
He wasn't exaggerating. That wasn't a threat. He was serious. I moved back then. I wasn't sure how I felt about that, knowing he'd physically hurt his brother over me.
"You need to leave with Dixie, and Dallas needs to take you both home,"
Asher told Scarlet. I looked at her pleadingly. She needed to listen to him. This was only getting worse with her being there.
"Okay," Scarlet agreed.
"But don't hurt him again. I did this. It was all me. I played games and caused this. I just wanted him." She didn't finish. She'd said enough right there. Enough to cause damage. Was this what Asher didn't want to happen between him and Steele? Asher swore again and shook his head, then pointed to Dallas's truck.
"Take him home. Then you need to come back."
Dallas nodded. No one was arguing with Asher.
"Let's go,"
he said to both of us, and I walked over to stand beside Scarlet. Dallas let her go and put a hand on both our shoulders.
"My truck,"
he said in a low voice. Scarlet looked at me then. She was scared and she was sorry. I could read the regret in her eyes, but she also was worried about me, because of Asher's actions. He hadn't hit Bray over Scarlet. He'd hit him because of how he spoke to me. But what did I do with that? I couldn't hope. After tonight, after this, he'd never do the same to his brother. But then, I wouldn't either. I'd end things before that ever happened. It was what Scarlet should have done in the first place. I turned back to see all of them squared off, bodies tense, and blue lights coming down the road. The cops had been called. Wouldn't be the first time the Sutton boys were greeted by the police. It was a good thing. Otherwise, none of them might survive the night.
Chapter 19. Bray Sutton. Brent's truck was parked out by the barn when I finally came home. So was Asher's and Steele's. Only the old rusted farm truck was missing. I headed for the barn, not sure what I was about to face. There was a good chance they would all take turns beating the shit out of me. When Brent would be ready to listen, I would find a way to explain it to him. But if he needed to hit me until his hand was bruised, I'd let him. I owed him that much. I handled this wrong. I wouldn't apologize for needing Scarlet. That was something I wasn't going to do. Because I needed her. I hadn't been sure that I could ever feel any real emotion until Scarlet managed to get under my skin and wedge herself firmly in my heart. It was like I had walked through life without understanding passion, jealousy, or even love. Before her, I'd only known anger. It was a numbness I never wanted to live with again. Scarlet changed all that for me. Maybe I was obsessed. Fuck, maybe I needed a new medication. But I needed to touch Scarlet and feel her to experience real pleasure. She gave me something I didn't know existed. And now I wasn't willing to let that go. Not even for my brother. I opened the barn door and Asher turned to look at me. He was the only one in there. And he was going to hand my ass to me now that I was home. I was prepared for that. As long as I had Scarlet, as long as she was mine, I would happily take whatever they wanted to give me. "He's out helping Steele," Asher informed me. I nodded. I wasn't sure what he thought I should do. Go find him? He'd be back soon enough. I turned to walk back out of the barn. I needed a shower. Sleeping outside in the back of my truck all night hadn't left me smelling good. I could still smell Scarlet and sex on my hands, too. I didn't want to wash her off, but I also knew the sex smell would have told my brothers more than any of them needed or wanted to know. "She came by to see him," Asher said, just before I walked out the door. I froze. I didn't want Scarlet coming to see Brent or anyone else for that matter. I had unleashed some kind of fucking monster last night when I'd allowed myself to lay claim to her. My hands clenched tightly into fists at my side at the thought of her apologizing to Brent. "When?" I bit out through my teeth. "About 3 hours ago," Asher replied. I took a deep breath through my nose and tried like hell to calm the fuck down. "What did she say?" "She said she'd been selfish and she was sorry," Asher informed me. My heart slammed against my chest, and I grabbed the doorframe to keep from putting my fist through a wall. Did he touch her? If he had, I wouldn't be able to control myself. "No. She didn't get within 10 feet of him when she spoke to him," he said slowly. "Bray, what the hell is wrong with you? You're acting like someone fucked your girlfriend, not the other way around." I ripped off the door facing and tossed it aside before glaring back at Asher. "She's mine." Asher raised his eyebrows. "She was Brent's. You didn't respect that." "No," I roared, taking a step toward him. "She was always mine." Asher studied me, but he didn't move. He didn't even flinch. "What's happened to you? How would I explain to him, to any of them, how Scarlet made me feel? What she gave me?" I felt my body begin to shake. "You okay? What's wrong? Look at me, Bray. The concern in Asher's voice snapped me out of the panic that was starting to squeeze my lungs. I had to find Scarlet. I needed her to touch me, to ease this. I gotta go, I said, before turning and stalking back to my truck. Getting to Scarlet was all what I needed first. Everything else could wait. She'd been here and she'd talked to Brent. I had to know what he said to her. I needed her to tell me it was still me she wanted. The slamming of a car door caught my attention, and I turned to see Dixie standing beside her car with tears streaming down her face. "What's wrong?" Asher called out as he walked past me, hell-bent on getting to Dixie. "Careful, bro. She belongs to Steel," I said, causing him to stop and swing a warning glare toward me. "Didn't feel so good when someone told you your woman was someone else's, did it? Maybe he'd remember that next time."
"She's gone,"
Dixie said, looking at me instead of Asher. My lungs seized up and my pulse sped up. The world around me faded away. "No," was all I could get out. Dixie looked at Asher and covered her mouth on a sob.
"She left me a note. She said she wasn't her mother. She had to fix what she'd done."
"No, no, no. Scarlet was not gone. She didn't leave me. She knew she couldn't leave me. I made it very clear to her last night." "No!" My voice didn't even sound like mine. I was moving toward Dixie now. I had to stop her from saying any more lies. Asher was in my face and he shoved me back until I stumbled. "Get a hold of yourself, Jesus! You've lost your mind. What is fucking wrong with you?" "No!" I yelled at the top of my lungs again, letting all the fear and panic that was trying to take hold of me grip me even tighter. "Oh, fuck." Asher's voice was out there somewhere. I heard it, but I couldn't focus on what he was saying.
"Go find Steel.
It's his meds. Shit, I should have realized this sooner."
"What meds?"
"They aren't working."
"Asher, what meds?"
Their voices faded out completely until it was all black, and I roared with the pain taking over my chest. She'd left me. I was hollow again.
Chapter 20. Asher Sutton. When Bray refused to go to counseling over his temper issues, the doctor prescribed an antidepressant he said helped with anger management. It had, a lot. It kept Bray calm. For the past 5 years, he rarely ever lost his temper. He was laid back and a smartass. I should have noticed he'd been different since I got home. There was no telling how long he'd been off them. He'd covered it up well until 2 nights ago. Scarlet's leaving was for the best. I knew Dixie was going to miss her, and I hated that for her, but my brothers needed time. If I had to drag Bray to a counselor and sit there with him twice a week, I was prepared to do it. There was something deep inside him none of us knew how to help him overcome. Something that haunted him, controlled him. He needed help, more than a damn pill could do. We'd kept his issue and the fact he needed medication for it from the others. Only I knew. Mama had asked me to talk him into taking it in the beginning. She couldn't get him to do it. I'd somehow managed to convince him he needed them. But with me gone, he decided to go off them. I knew that after this, I wasn't going to be able to return to Florida. I'd go back for a small break, but I was needed here. Mama would tell me I wasn't, that I should go live my life, but I knew better. The boys needed me. Mama needed me. I shouldn't have left to begin with. "Asher, I need you to deliver a load to Luke Monroe, if you will," Denver called out from the back door of Watson's Feed and Seed. I was unloading a truck and restocking. The sun was hot as hell, and normally I liked doing deliveries, but not this time. Not to Luke Munro's. Not today. Not after the other night. Avoiding Dixie was the only way I managed to stay sane. In the last 48 hours, I had to deal with her more than I could bear because it made me miss her even more. Our bond was still there. Even when hell was breaking loose, it was there. However, telling my boss I wasn't going to do my job because of a girl wasn't exactly an option. I swore under my breath and called back. Okay, what's he need? Hannah is bringing you the list. She's the one who took the order. And this just kept getting better and better. Hannah liked having an excuse to come out here and see me. If she didn't have an order for me, she brought me a drink. It was nice of her to do that. But I knew by the way she was smiling and giggling that it wasn't because she thought I was thirsty. Hannah wanted us to become more. She wasn't hard on the eyes, and unlike some of the other girls in town, she was also intelligent and ambitious. I'd heard all about her plans after college. Hannah was organized, even more so than me. She liked current events and chatted on a lot about politics. I listened, but didn't say much. She had a nice voice, and if only briefly, she distracted me from my thoughts of Dixie. But it was short-lived. I wiped my forehead with a towel I kept tucked in my pocket. When sweat got into my eyes with dirt mixed in, it burned like a motherfucker. Before I could prepare myself for going to Luke's, Hannah came strutting to the back. Her navy shorts were showing every inch of her legs. 1 centimeter shorter, and her rounded ass cheeks would peep out for all to see. The pale yellow tank top she was wearing was the only thing covering her tits. No bra. I wondered why Denver let her dress that way. Display herself like that.
Need help loading this stuff?
She asked as she all but bounced walking toward me, grinning and selling it. Thanks, but I got it, I replied. She always smiled, perennially happy about life, which I envied and often wondered what that felt like. But she wasn't dressed for manual labor. She never was, yet she always offered to help me.
I can ride with you,
she said, as if she was being helpful. Taking Hannah with me would keep me from being alone while going to Dixie's for the first time since this all happened. But I had demons to face, and needed the quiet of my truck to prepare myself mentally. Dixie was very likely going to marry Steele. I had to accept that. Move on, though I wasn't sure yet how I was going to do that. Although Bray's reaction wasn't healthy or normal, I understood his desperation. I felt the same way, I just reacted differently. I'm sure you're needed at the front desk, I got this, but thanks. I told her as gently as I could. She moved closer and closer every time she rode with me. I was concerned Hannah would be plastering herself up against me soon. Again, she was easy on the eyes, and it wasn't hard having her pressed against my body that way. I just wasn't ready. As much as I wished I was, I wasn't. But she kept trying anyway. I respected her enough not to use her. I didn't think she saw it that way. That's what worried me most.
I'd rather be with you,
she replied, her voice dropping into a husky tone that was intended to be sexy. She wasn't trying to be subtle at all as she rubbed her chest against my left arm. I stepped back and reached for a bag of feed. I wasn't even sure what kind I was holding. Hannah, I'm flattered, but we both work for your dad, and I don't think that's a... Well, I really sucked at this. I think this is a bad idea. She pouted. Looked damn good pouting, too. But not good enough to make me forget where I'd be going with her.
I just knew going to the Munros might be tough on you. I wanted to be there for support if you needed any support. I can think of a few ways I could help ease any ache or suffering that going there might cause you.
Her eyes went to my cock as she spoke. I'd be lying if I said I didn't consider it. I was a man, but I didn't hesitate when I said, "Thanks, Hannah, but it's best if we keep this a friend thing, if that's okay with you." She sighed and dropped the seductive gaze she'd been giving me. She looked more like old Hannah now. Sweet, kind Hannah, but in fewer clothes than she'd been wearing that very first day when I started working there. Her clothing had gotten skimpier and skimpier by the day. By the end of next week, if she continued at her current pace, Hannah would be coming to work naked. Maybe her daddy would notice then. "You're always going to love Dixie Monroe, aren't you, Asher Sutton?" She wasn't talking in her sultry voice anymore. She was back to being herself. I thought about denying it, but I knew Hannah wouldn't tell anyone, no matter my response. It would stay between us, and I needed to say it, admit it to someone, anyone. "Yeah, I will." But I let her go, and she moved on. She frowned. "Why did you break up with her? That's a mystery no one has ever understood." "It's complicated." I wasn't telling anyone that. Not Hannah. Not a fucking soul. She nodded as if she understood, when I knew she didn't, couldn't, and wouldn't. "Okay, Asher, I get it. But when you're tired of seeing her with your brother, and you're ready to move on to something else, don't forget me. I can wait." "If that day ever comes, you'll be the first I call." That brought a smile to her face. I liked seeing her smile. I didn't want to think I'd been the one to take her ever-present smile away. "I could still go with you for moral support as a fellow employee." I considered it. Having Hannah with me would have made it less awkward, but then again, it could have made things even more awkward, too. I shook my head. "Not this time. This is something I need to get over and deal with. But thank you for asking, Hannah." She shrugged her shoulders. "Okay. Good luck, then." "Thanks." Best thing I could have hoped for was for Dixie not to be home. Then I could unload, talk to Luke about work, and leave as quickly as possible. Loading the truck didn't take me long. I was on the road and headed to the Monroes in about 20 minutes. Had Hannah been sitting in the seat beside me, I might have felt a false sense of security. But that was all it would have been. No matter who was there, I had to face them eventually, see this through. And if Dixie was there, then I'd have to talk to her. Talk to her like my brother's girlfriend, accept what I said and what had to be, knowing she loved me too. That was the hardest part. Knowing that my heart wasn't the only one I broke. If there had been a way to save Steele in all this, I would have done it. But I didn't see any other way to escape the truth. Pulling the truck onto the dirt road that ran beside Luke's big barn, I saw only his truck sitting there. Relieved by that, I parked and jumped down. I planned on making some small talk, unload the truck, and be gone in no time at all.
"I can help you unload that, Asher."
Dixie's sweet southern drawl stopped me in my tracks. I froze like a blizzard had hit me. Motherfucking shit.
Chapter 21. Dixie Monroe. I'd heard Daddy on the phone placing his order from Watson's Feed and Seed. He didn't know that Asher was likely to be delivering the order for them. I did. I knew it would be him. When Mama said that she had lunch ready, I told him to go on and eat with her, that I'd go out to the barn in case the delivery came. Oddly enough, he seemed fine with that. I expected it to be harder. He trusted me, but he was fatherly suspicious, as all good fathers were. Asher's back was still to me. He hadn't turned around. He'd been expecting my dad and was obviously surprised when I was the one waiting there. I was relieved Hannah Watson didn't climb from the truck. I wasn't sure what my plan would have been if she'd been there with him. I was only focused on Asher, on speaking to him alone, even though I knew this was wrong. Even if he'd said it was over between us, I wanted to hear his voice again. See if it was truly over between us. "Dad's eaten lunch," I said, hoping he'd look at me. His shoulder sagged, and I felt somewhat guilty. The last 2 days had been hard on him. Having Scarlet, Rip, Bray, and Brent apart had been tough on all of them. He slowly turned to face me.
I'm having a hard time believing your daddy left you out here to take this delivery from me.
Nonchalantly, I lifted my left shoulder. He might not have known you worked for Denver. Asher shook his head and turned his gaze to the house.
Best I unload this and be on my way.
He didn't want to look at me. I knew that. Hated it even more. Did he sense desperation in my voice? Did he think that after the other night I expected more? That his showing how he felt for me by beating Bray's face in would confuse me? Well, it did. But it also showed me that Asher was never going to hurt Steel. I had other plans, another idea. We were friends once, I said, knowing we could never actually be friends. That was no longer possible.
No, Dix, we weren't. I always wanted you. Never thought of you as a friend.
I wanted to smile at that. It was something. But I didn't smile. I didn't let him see how much I liked hearing it because he'd just unload and run. I had to maintain some sort of wall, a barrier between us to keep him here, talking to me. I saw you with Hannah. Y'all dating? I wasn't sure what had gotten into me today, but I couldn't shut up. Had to say everything I was thinking. Jealousy was killing me.
You also saw me with Amber. You're not asking about her.
I know you'd never really feel anything for Amber. Hannah is different. You could love her.
I worked with her. She's a friend.
They worked together. She saw him every day. Eventually, that could lead to more. She's really pretty, I replied. The words just kept spewing from my mouth.
Yeah, she is, he said.
Having him agree with me on that didn't feel good at all. I continued with the stupid questions. She likes you? It sounded like a question, but I meant it as a statement. He shrugged.
Not important, is it, Dix? Why are you doing this?
Everything about him was important to me, vital even. The fact that my heart ached for him every day and I felt empty and hollow inside mattered because this was what my life had become. I replied before I could stop myself. Because, Asher, I love you. He closed his eyes tightly, his hands fisting at his sides.
Dixie, for the love of God, please stop. I can't do this with you. I can't listen to this or do anything about it. If I could, don't you get that I would?
The pain etched on his face, in his eyes, told me he was hurting too, and I was only making it worse. I can't stay with Steel. It's not right. It feels wrong to pretend. I keep pretending to love him when I'm in love with someone else. Always have been. Asher sighed. His breath's heavy now. He was searching for a response.
Even if you don't stay with Steel, Dixie, I just can't. He's my brother. You saw what happened with Bray and Brent.
I knew this already, but something inside me had to try one more time. It was wrong and cruel of me, but I had to try. I knew our situation was different. Bray and Scarlet had played with Brent's emotions by using him to make the other jealous. I'd never done that to Steel. I never would. I was only guilty of loving Asher too much. But my heart knew what it wanted. Did that make me a bad person? I couldn't find it in myself to care. My heart refused to let him go. I can help unload, I said again. There was nothing else to say. I'd help him, endure the pain of having him near and not be his. But he would be close. That would be enough.
Why don't you go and let your dad know I'm here? I'll unload and then be on my way.
He said all that without once looking in my direction. The summer sun made his hair appear lighter than it was, highlighting its thick strands. His skin was tanned, and I knew from summers past it would only get darker with time. The broad shoulders that made the taut fabric of his shirt cling to his skin had once been mine. To grip, hold on to, but now they weren't mine to touch anymore. Nothing about Asher Sutton belonged to me anymore. All I had left were my memories. Every look, every touch, every kiss, everything he ever said to me. You could have put me in a box, thrown away the key, fed me enough just to keep me alive, and even after years had passed, I would have recognized his voice anywhere. Okay, I replied. And I did what I had to do at that moment. I walked away from the boy I'd loved and the man I couldn't forget. Part of me hoped he'd stop me, call out to me, asking me to turn around. But I knew better. Where I was weak and selfish, Asher was strong and selfless, keeping his word regardless of how he felt. He'd put his brother first, before anything else he wanted. I couldn't hate him for that. He was being the good guy, and I was behaving like the villain. Climbing the few short steps on my porch, I inhaled deeply, staring bravely at the large wooden door closed in front of me. I had to go inside and act like my heart wasn't breaking into pieces, let my dad know the delivery had come, then make some excuse to skip lunch and head straight to my bedroom to hide. Once upon a time, Asher had kissed me on these steps. Countless nights I'd sat here and waited for him to come. On even more lonely nights, I'd watched for his truck to pass, wondering why he didn't want me anymore and what I had done to lose him. This porch, these steps, held more memories than I could count. I walked to the door and put a brave smile on my face, one I didn't feel and hadn't truly felt in a very long time. I knew my parents would be in the kitchen. I could have called out, masked the pain in my voice, and just kept walking to my room. But I had to face my fears. Delivery came. It's all good. I hoped there would be no questions.
Did it get unloaded?
Dad asked. Yes, sir.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome, I replied, moving swiftly toward the stairs, almost escaping the next question. You coming to eat? Mama asked. It's on the table, dear. I expected it, knew it was coming. I replied, not hungry yet. Ate breakfast too late. I'm going to go read. Today was my day off from the hair and tanning salon where I worked. I was the receptionist, and I washed all the towels, too. Being lazy around the house on my days off was more acceptable now since I started working 5 days a week. The salon was closed on Sundays, so I didn't work then, spending those days reading as much as I could. I tried to keep to myself, though Steele took a lot of my free time. I knew I wouldn't have felt that way had I loved him truly. Once I was safely inside my room, I sank down on the bed and fell backwards, staring at the ceiling. I faced the reality of what I had to do. I had to break up with Steele. Not because it would change anything with Asher, because it wouldn't. It was set in stone. But because I just couldn't do this to Steele anymore. He was a good guy. A great guy. And he deserved a girl who would love him for the amazing man that he was. That wasn't me. It never would be. I'd already let this go too far. I wasn't proud of myself or my actions, but that didn't mean I couldn't change them. Do the right thing and get strong enough to move on. Find a life outside of this town. One without a Sutton boy by my side. Asher was right about one thing. I wasn't meant for a Sutton boy.
Chapter 22. Asher Sutton.
Where the fuck have you been? Dallas asked as I walked into the house.
I knew by his language Mama wasn't inside or he would have paid dearly for that. Work, I replied, moving past him, heading to the fridge to get a glass of sweet tea and some food. I'd skipped my lunch break because Hannah had asked me to go with her. I lied and said I'd brought a sandwich, that I'd scarf it down and keep on working. grabbing some cold fried chicken, half an apple pie, cheddar cheese, and the leftover biscuits, I set the banquet on the table and closed the door.
You gonna share? Dallas asked with a grin.
No, get your own.
I would, but you just cleaned out the damn fridge.
I began slicing some cheese to go with my biscuits and took a tomato from the windowsill. I knifed the stem head and cut it down the middle. After talking to Dixie, having had to say the things she needed to hear, I just wanted to be left alone. I wasn't in the mood for my little brother's smart mouth. Hey, slice me some tomato too. Tomato, cheese, and biscuits sound good. I'm starving, Steele said as the screen door slammed shut behind him.
Oh, hot damn, there's some chicken left too.
He's not sharing, Dallas chimed in before I could reply. He's come in scowling and angry, determined to eat us out of house and home, which you can see is all on the table before you.
Everything okay? Was Steele's immediate response.
He was assuming this was about Bray, who was still locked in his room, heavily medicated. I sliced another tomato, put it on a plate, and then turned to hand it to Steele.
I'm fine, just hungry, didn't eat all day.
Take a couple of biscuits if you want, but the chicken, that's all mine. Steele took the plate of tomato from me and sat down at the table. His gaze remained stuck on me, studying me, weighing my mood by my movements. It was hard having any secrets with a house full of nosy-ass brothers. I've been gone so long, I forgot what this was like. Having someone always there watching you, paying attention to your every mood. At school, no one cared. I could close off and get drunk all alone. No one ever questioned it. Here, that was impossible. Steele asked,
why didn't you eat at work? Denver not give you a lunch break?
Yeah, he does. Worked through it.
Then that's your own fucking fault. Share the chicken, Dallas replied, leaning over the table to grab a drumstick.
I clutched his wrist and glared at him.
I'm not in the mood, I warned him. Get your own goddamn food.
As the last word fell from my mouth, the screen door opened again and Brent walked in. He had been working outside since early this morning, ignoring Bray locked away in his room and the fact Scarlett had left town.
Jesus, y'all fighting over food?
I tried to act like everything was normal for him, not treat him with kid gloves like everyone else was doing. He obviously didn't want to be treated that way.
No, this fucker won't leave my lunch alone.
It's 4:30 in the afternoon, that ain't lunch, was Brent's response.
He didn't eat lunch, now he's all pissy, hoarding the food like a king, Dallas drawled and leaned back in his chair, smirking after saying it.
Just tell us why you didn't eat, and I promise I'll leave you alone.
There had been times at college I missed this. My brother's a full house, people who cared. But this wasn't one of those times. Right now, I was missing my privacy. Something this bunch knew nothing about. Currently, what I wanted was to be treated as a leper and avoided like the plague.
I put the chicken breast down with more force than necessary, looking up at three pairs of all too similar eyes, all directly focused on me. They were all waiting on my response, nosy bastards. They had to know.
Hannah, that's why I didn't eat. She won't leave me the hell alone. Now will you all let me fucking eat?
I was louder than necessary, but frustrated about being interrogated by them.
So, she held you down during your lunch break? Woman rode you? Wouldn't let you eat.
If that's the case, I don't blame you for not eating. That's one hot piece of ass.
Always thought she was a little uppity and superior with her honor roll scholarship shit, but damn. Those can be the wildest ones. Did she happen to suck your dick?
I stared at Dallas. When had my little brother turned into a complete dick?
Don't think that's what happened, Steele said.
I shook my head. No. It's not. I then took another bite of chicken.
Okay, wait, you didn't bang Hannah? Dallas asked. My patience was running thin. I decided to eat in my room. Mama could bitch at me. I'd listen and apologize. That was better than this. Lifting my plate in one hand with my mason jar of tea firmly clasped in the other, I headed toward the stairs leading up to my room to escape my brother's inquisition. "You can't take food to your room." Dallas's tone was amused and playful. "I don't give a fuck," I replied, slamming the door behind me, then locking it in place. They'd follow me, or at least Dallas would try just to see how far he could push me. I heard his laughter and Steele say something in a low, rumbling tone. I didn't try to listen. I sat down on the top step and finished my meal in silence. If I ate fast enough, I could get all evidence of it back to the kitchen before Mama returned. She was outside in the garden. Of course, that meant more taunting from Dallas. I'd rather just deal with Mama. I replayed Dixie's voice in my mind again and again. Her words to me, how happy I once made her. I hated hurting her, causing her any type of pain. I wished she'd understand that every time I pushed her back, every time I had to put her at a safe distance from me, my very being was being torn into shreds. This wasn't easy for me. From the moment I found those letters in that box, my life lost its meaning. I was drained of any joy and couldn't be filled again. The emptiness now seemed to be permanent. The twisted guilt I'd lived with for the past 3 years was gone, but the ache of losing Dixie was still there. She wasn't the last girl I'd been with, but she'd been the only one that mattered. The only face I saw. No one made me feel complete like she had. No one made me want to plan my forever except her. Only my Dixie. I thought that maybe with time there would be someone else to take her place. But all I realized in the end was that once you'd found perfection, everything else paled by comparison. A puzzle piece would forever be missing from your soul.
Chapter 23. Dixie Monroe. While staring out the kitchen window, I poured myself a third cup of coffee. Sleep hadn't come last night. Not even a few seconds of it. My guilt kept me wide awake. I wasn't being fair to Steele. I'd known that before. But had let him convince me to stay with him because he honestly thought I could forget Asher one day. He thought we had a chance. I had to stop letting him think that. I cared about him. I wanted him to be loved the way he loved other people. Completely, without hesitation. He was a good guy and should have it all. I was too fractured, too broken for him, even though he refused to see it. Telling him all this would not be easy. I knew that no matter how prepared I got, he was going to try and stop me. Convince me not to do this. I had to be strong or I'd continue hurting him forever. He'd hate me. All the Suttons would, especially now on the heels of what happened with Bray and Scarlet. But I couldn't just keep finding reasons to wait. I had to do this now. I had to end it so that he could move on. 3 long gulps and I finished the cup. I didn't even taste it. I drank it for the caffeine and the mental focus I needed for the task ahead. What I had to do wouldn't change anything with Asher. After yesterday, I knew that. He had decided that he could never be with me, and knowing he didn't love me the way I loved him would always sting deeply. "You're up early. You don't have to be at work for another 2 hours," Mom said, yawning. She searched my face. It was 6 in the morning, and I'd been drinking coffee since 5. "I couldn't sleep," I replied, though I knew she knew that. She came up behind me, wrapping her arms around my waist and resting her chin on my shoulder. "It isn't easy to do what's right, but you know that already." Without me even telling her, she knew. Saw it all and read my heart. Tears stung my eyes because my mother expected me to do the right thing. To let Steele go, be truthful about it all,
and she'd been waiting all along for me to do that. One day, there will be another man. Asher Sutton will become a memory. You won't ever forget him, but you will heal and move on.